Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Corinthians chapter number 4, let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. Verse number 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 says this, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Lord, I love you this morning. God, I thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit in our service this morning. God, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. God, thank you for being good to us, Father. I thank you for Sunday school this morning. God, the sweet testimonies in our class this morning, the young people bragging on God for what you've done for them and for answering prayers in their life. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today. God, I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done. Help us, God, to rightly divide the word of truth this morning. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I think that we could all agree that discouragement is a well-used tool of the devil. If you've been in the Christian life very long, and if you've been saved very long, any period of time, I think that you'll likely agree with me that there has been times of disappointment and times of discouragement along the way. Matter of fact, Martin Luther, who was so depressed for a prolonged period, said that one day his wife came downstairs wearing all black, as if attending a funeral service. Martin Luther said to her, "Who died?" She replied, "God has." He said, "God hasn't died." She quickly responded, "Well, then live like it and act like it." You know, sometimes along the way, we just start having a pity party. We might as well holler amen right there. It's scriptural. Elijah done it. We've all been to those places in our life where we've just become discouraged. When reading the Bible in Numbers chapter number 21, the Bible said this, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." The word discouraged there carries the ideal of becoming impatient, grieved, broken in spirit, or short of soul. The Hebrew phrase literally gives the picture of a person whose spirit has been cut down. They had simply lost heart. The people of Israel were frustrated because the journey was hard, the route was long, and they wanted it to be quicker. God led them around Edom instead of through it, and they become weary because of the process. This discouragement was not just a physical tiredness, but it became a spiritual problem also in their life. This discouragement led to complaining, to criticizing God, to despising the very provisions of God because they said this light bread. It led to unbelief in their life. There are times when we get discouraged along the way. There's times that we wonder what is happening along the way. Can I say it like this? I believe that there's times that we feel like everything that is happening to us, it's just cutting our feet out from under us, or like a knife cutting down our hopes, our goals, and our ambitions. As we look into God's Word, we find that Paul gives us a statement for those times. Here's what Paul says, "For which cause we faint not." When studying this word, faint not, you'll find that it simply means this. It's also in the Bible as not to faint. And here's what it means whenever we study it out. It means not to lose heart. That's what it means. Not to lose heart. You know what Paul is saying today? He's saying this. We don't need to lose heart while we're serving the Lord. Again, I don't think that I have to labor the thought that there is times of discouragement. There is times of disappointment. There's times that it seems that we're trying our best to serve God and everything is going in the opposite direction. We pour our heart into doing something for God and it seems that the world cuts all of that out from underneath us. But Paul says to us this morning, in the midst of those times, in the midst of those times of being disappointed, and in the midst of those times of being discouraged, that we must not lose heart during those times. I want to preach on this thought this morning, and this evening we'll look at a different thought of it another time in the Bible where it says this, but I want to preach on this thought this morning. Don't lose heart when life seems unfair. Don't lose heart when life seems unfair. The truth of the matter is this, life is not always going to be easy. Life is not always going to be grand. Life is not always going to be a walk in the middle of some beautiful garden with people singing lullabies to us. The truth of the matter is this. The day I got saved by the grace of God, a battle began raging inside of me. There was somebody else moved in that day, and it was the Holy Ghost. And ever since then, the Holy Ghost and Satan has been at war with each other. And there's sometimes that life seems unfair. There's sometimes that things happen to us and we just think, man, that's unfair. You remember as a kid, and I don't know what kids say today in school, but when I was a kid in school and things didn't go our way, what would we say? That's not what? Fair. You know what we were saying? That's unfair. There's times in our life, church, we want to look at God and go, life seems unfair right now. Why is this happening this way? Why is this going this way? Number one, I want you to see three things with me this morning. Number one, there were things happening to him. When we look at this passage of Scripture, the Bible said this in verse number 8 of this passage. Paul says, we are troubled on every side. The word trouble describes grapes being pressed or trodden in the rind press. And Paul is saying this, we are pressed, we are troubled, and it's coming from every side. I thought about this. There is the battle. Paul speaks of his troubles as pressing in on him from every side. It was like four walls contracting, and he was caught in the middle. Paul was describing what was happening in his life as being sandwiched or squeezed between numerous situations that were coming in on him and pressing down on him. The word also describes a wrestler trying to crush his adversary. The enemy was trying to crush him, to suffocate his ministry, to pin him down, and to take him out of the fight. He's in a battle today. He's in a battle. Think about this, the things that were happening to him. There's not only the battle, but there's the bewilderment. What does he say again in verse number 8? He says, we are perplexed. The word perplexed speaks of a narrow or tight place with seemingly no way out. It would be descriptive of a phrase that we like to use at wit's end. It carries the meaning of not knowing which way to turn. Paul says this, and can I remind you who Paul is? He's one of the greatest preachers, if not the greatest preacher in the New Testament, besides the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, he writes close to half of our New Testament to us, but here's what he says in the middle of serving God. There's some things happening to him. He said, I'm battling, but I'm bewildered. He's simply saying this, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do at this point. The battle, the bewilderment, but watch this, there's the beating. Look again in verse number 9 of our text. He adds in verse number 9 that he was persecuted. The word speaks of being hunted down like a hunter after his prey. Adversity and affliction pursued him. Also in verse number 9, he speaks of being cast down. The word speaks of being thrown down, prostrate. All the things that Paul was going through were like an angry mob rushing in on a victim, beating and pounding him to the ground. Paul sums up all that he was going through in verse number 10, and he says this, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks in verse 11 and says this, delivered into death for Jesus' sake. And in verse number 12, how death worketh in us. Paul was simply stating that the threat and the possibility of death was a daily companion in his life. When he got up in the morning, he had no idea where he would be that evening or what he would be going through that evening or whether or not he would even be alive that evening. But he said this, in the midst of everything that's happening to me, I will faint not. I choose not to lose heart with everything going on, even though it seems unfair. Number one, I see the things happening to him. But number two, watch this. I see the things happening in him. There was not only things happening to him, there was things happening in him. And can I say to you today, when things happen to you, there'll be things happen in you. And I say it again, when things happen to you, there'll be things happen in you. You'll divert to one of two things. You'll draw closer to Christ, or you'll get further away from Christ. In times of bewilderment, in times of battling, in times of life not seeming unfair, you'll either go to God or away from God. A lot of times, initially, people go to God and then away from God. Can I say to you today, we need the right things to happen in us when life seems unfair. Know what your Bible said in verse 16? He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, now note it, yet the inward man is what? Is renewed day by day. Paul was saying, man, this outward man might be dying, but this inward man, every day I get up, he's renewed. He's renewed afresh and new inside of me. Watch this. Paul had a view of God's providence in his life. He understood that nothing entered his life by accident. Every burden, every persecution, every hardship, and every delay had first passed through the hands of a sovereign God. What others viewed as opposition, Paul saw as a divine orchestration from God himself. He knew that God was not merely watching his suffering, but God was working through his suffering. The trials were not pointless. They were going to be productive. The pressure was developing patience. The affliction was producing glory. The breaking of the outward man was strengthening the inward man in his life. Providence is the understanding that God is continually at work behind the scenes and arranging circumstances for his purpose and for our good. And I just say that to you again. Arranging circumstances for his purpose and for our good. That is why he didn't faint. He knew God was using the pain. He knew God was shaping the servant. He knew God was preparing eternal glory through the temporary suffering in his life. Not only had a view of the providence of God, but he had a vision of the purpose of God. He had a vision of the purpose of God. And when you study Paul's life, Paul understood that everything happening on the outside was producing something eternal on the inside. That everything that he was going through, I hope you get a hold of what I'm trying to get you to see. That everything he was faced with was producing something on the inside of him. How would we know how to trust God if we never had a valley? How would we know how to lean on God if we never had a valley? How would we know how to make it through the rain if there was never a storm? Paul is saying to his man, there is a vision of the purpose of God in his life. Watch this with me. And that's why Paul could say in verse number 8, he was troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Can I just say it this way? He was pressed, but he was not crushed. That's why he could say in verse number 8, we are perplexed, but not in despair. He was hemmed in, but not without hope. That's the reason that he could say in verse number 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. He may have been a hunted, but he had a hiding place. That's why he could say in verse number 9, cast down, but not destroyed. What was happening to him might bend him, but it was not going to break him. That's why he could say in verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall rise up or raise up us also by Jesus. Paul knew that everything that was going on around him, even though it may kill him, there was a better life ahead. You see, something was happening in him. Oh yes, he must be pressed down, but he's not going to be crushed. He may be hemmed in, but he's not without hope. He may be hunted, but thank God he's got a hiding place. What was happening to him might bend him, but it would not break him. And even if it did send him to the grave, there was a better day just ahead of him. Yes, there will be times that things happen around us and things happen to us, but the reason we don't lose heart, it's because of inside of us, there's the Holy Ghost of God that strengthens us and helps us, and that's why we keep going. There's something happening in him. Oh yes, there's something happening to him. Man, you read the verses, there's something happening to him. But in the midst of all of that, there's something happening in him. Oh, I like that. There's something happening inside of him. I'm telling you something, there's some days, man, that it gets hard. You might as well say amen. There's some times that it seems unfair and we don't know what's going on, and it seems that our life is cut down from us. Oh, but deep down inside, thank God for the presence of the Holy Ghost that helps us along the way. There was something happening to him. There's something happening in him. Watch this and I'm done. There was things happening through him. You see, for anything to happen through him, there had to be some things happen to him and some things happen in him. And when some things happen to him and some things happen in him, then there was some things happen through him. Matter of fact, the only reason Paul could write these verses today, and I could preach on these verses today, and we can find help from these verses today, and we can find strength from these verses today, is because there was something that happened to him, and something happened in him, and it produced something happening through him. Amen. The reason you have a testimony today is because something happened to you, and then something happened in you, and now something's happening. Oh, yes. If we all got what we deserved, we'd be in hell today. I'm telling you, that's exactly what we would be. But thank God for the night. I realized I was lost and on the road to hell. And I made my way to an altar and the Lord saved me. And the Holy Ghost moved in my life. It's not always been a bed of roses since then. But ever since then, the good God of glory has walked every step with me. And the reason we can do something today, it's because something happened to us that produced something happening in us. And when it started happening in us, we said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to lose heart. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to fall out by the wayside. But I'm going to walk back in the choir one more time. And I'm going to sing one more song. And I'm going to go back to the Sunday school class one more time. And I'm going to teach one more time. And I'm going to crawl up in the pulpit. And I'm going to preach one more time. And God starts doing things through us because of what happened in us while things was happening to us. Oh yes, watch this. There was things happening through him. Look at the increase. Paul did not lose heart because he found grace abundant in verse number 15. He talks about the abundant grace. Paul did not lose heart because he knew it would lead to thanksgiving in many. Verse 15 says, through the thanksgiving of many. Paul did not lose heart because he knew that God would get glory from all that was happening. Verse 15 says that it might redound to the glory of God. That word redound means for the better, be for the better, enough, and to spare, exceed, excel. You see, Paul looked at the increase, but look at the instruction, the things happening through him. Look at the instruction that Paul gives. It made it all seem like a light affliction in verse number 17. All this that he talks about, he said, well, it's just a light affliction. You can tell he wasn't part of most Baptist churches of 2026. He said, don't worry about a preacher, man. Ain't nothing to this. You go to Paul while he was sitting in prison and his world literally crumbling in around him. He'd say, oh, this is just a light affliction. Let me tell you what I've been doing today, man. I've been witnessing to the jailer. I've been telling him about how good God is to me. I've been telling him about that day I was on the road to Damascus. It's a light affliction. That's what Paul's saying. Watch this. Even though there was no end in sight, what he was going through, what he was experiencing in the inward man, made it all seem but for a moment in verse 17. Paul said that what happened to him was working in him and working through him something that would bring him, verse 17, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul was saying to us, when problems, trials, heartaches, adversity, and affliction come, don't lose heart, for the benefits far outweigh the burdens that we face. For the benefits far outweigh the burdens that we face. You know what Paul was saying? Come start playing softly. He was saying this, don't lose heart, man. Sometimes life's going to seem unfair. It really is. Sometimes I wonder why people have to face what people have to face. Sometimes they have to face it because of their own sin, and that's their own fault. Sometimes we have to face it because of the sin of someone else, and that's someone else's fault. And then sometimes it's just the Lord decides to put us in the fire. Job wasn't facing what Job was facing because of his sin or anybody else's sin. The devil just went to God, said, hey, I want to jump on somebody. And God said, go over and see Job. But think about that, how much faith God had in Job. I'm sure that if the devil goes to heaven today and asks Jesus or God the same thing that he did then, I'm looking for somebody. God probably don't have enough faith in me to say, well, go see Jonathan. I'm just being real with you. They probably don't have enough faith in me to say that. But God knew that Job could take it. A lot of times we say the devil's on our back, when in all reality, it's probably not the devil. It's probably one of the demons that's on our back, because the devil is not omnipresent. The devil can't be everywhere at the same time. Only God can. So if the devil's on your back at work, he's not on my back, because he can't be here and be there. I've lost half of you. It's probably one of the demons is what it is. Matter of fact, there's very few people in the Bible, very few people, that you'll find that the devil ever really got on them. Very few. I'm going to tell you something. In those times when the devil comes or the demons come and says, it ain't worth it. You're trying to serve God. Everything's going wrong. Whatever it may be that has caused everything to go wrong. What you going to do? You know what Paul said? Man, you read these verses. I preached that really fast. I hope you got everything that I said. He said, I'm pressed down. He said, I'm at wit's end. I don't know what to do. But you know what he said? I'm just going to stay with the Lord. Me and Mason was going up the road yesterday. We was talking about some things. And he said, well, I prayed about this and I prayed about that. And he said, I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, let me give you some wise counsel, old son. I said, it come from my dad. When you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. Worst thing you can do in a time of discouragement is to make a big decision. If you're facing a major crisis in your life and you're going through a hard time, worst thing you can do is make a big decision. Are you listening to me right there? Because a lot of times we're responding off of emotion. We get to wit's end sometimes. But Paul said, there's one thing I do know to do, and that's just remain faithful to God. When life seems unfair, man, don't lose heart. Anybody can quit. Anybody can throw in the towel. Anybody can walk away. Paul said, there's some things happening to me. But while they're happening to me, there's some things happening in me. And because the things that happened in him remained right, there was some things happened through him. God may be trying to take that crisis in your life and do something in you so he can do something through you. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well? Why? So somebody else can get a drink of water when they get there. If you quit when life is unfair, how are you going to help anybody else when their life is unfair? What are you going to do? Tell them to quit? Tell them to run? Tell them to go the other way? I'm preaching good. Is that what you're going to do? But if you stay with it, when somebody else has things start happening to them, you can go to them and say, well, let me tell you what happened inside of me. And tell what God done for me during that time. And you know what's happening at that moment? He's doing things through you. And ultimately, man, some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. And ultimately, is that not the goal of the Christian life? Is for things to happen through us, that we lead others to Christ and not away from Christ?